Joe, I would echo what you said. I too thought we could just as well be done. So I hope not to detract from that message. I hope to enhance it. Perhaps there's something else that might touch your heart or you can consider on this Palm Sunday. Matthew 21 is where we're going to read from at first. If you'd like to read along, that would be great. But you may listen in as we look at Scripture, Matthew 21. Reading from the Scripture. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey. It'll be tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Interesting time period. I'm wondering if, as we go through this, you could get that mental picture of being on a street and having a procession go by. I don't know if you've been to parades and things like that. You know how it is sort of the excitement that might build, or you're anticipating who's coming, that sort of thing. But you've got to understand, this parade is really short. It's got one entry. And so it's just going to kind of come and go. And so I want you to consider that in this. We do read, and I like to feel like I would be one of the followers, because it says those that were there and those that followed. I'd like to think I was the follower, but I'm not sure. And so you have to ask yourself, where were you on this day? Were you just on the side? Were you wondering, who is this? Were you, who were you in all of this? Honestly, I think I was probably just on the side in trying to figure out, who is this? That's a question that everybody has to answer at some point. Hosanna. Hosanna is a rejoicing thing, but those of you that have probably heard such messages as this or have looked it up, understand that really Hosanna just means help, save us. So these people are glad the king is coming, but they're also saying, come on, help us, save us, get us out from under. And it's curious that approximately 100 years prior to this event, there was a Jewish man, Judas Maccabeus, who had brought some victory for the Jewish people. And he, too, had palm branches brought. And palm branches are to signify victory. Victory. And so these people are breaking this stuff off and laying it for victory, they hope. Curious thing about palm branches. They're quick to die. Very quick to die once you break them off. Once they're apart from the source, they die. And I consider that with Palm Sunday as well. I always hate to take away from the victory and the glory and the recognition of the king, but I've got the privilege of hindsight. I can read back. And so I'm starting to catch a flavor of what Christ is thinking through this. There's a victory coming. There's victory, but it's not what you see. And I think that's the way this journey is, this little path that takes place. Gene and I had the privilege, when we were in Ramallah, to go to this event, Palm Sunday. We met way back kind of in a park area, and they brought up palm branches from Jericho. There were trucks of palm branches. And the reason for that was, I think, the growers in Jerusalem said, we don't want you just walking by our house and breaking off things, so we will provide them for you. But our procession was a long one, because everybody wants to make sure that they are represented in this procession. So we, you know, Greek Orthodox, we got the Catholics, we got the Baptists, we got, there's it, and Quakers. And we were all in this. And it's kind of exhilarating, it's kind of neat, but you got to keep thinking, what's really going on here? The disciples had longed for this day. They had really wanted this day to come, because finally, Jesus is going to quit talking. He's going to start doing. He's going to take over here. We're going to have a kingdom, and it's going to happen today. Well, if you read through this, after this procession, it just kind of dies away, kind of like the palm branches left for the street cleaners to pick up this mess. So who is this? And another question I considered as I looked around and read some other people's thoughts was, is this the king that you want to serve? If he is the king, do you want to be his subject? And what does that entail? Something to consider. People longed for the day, and there were others that dreaded this day. Those in the higher echelons of the Jewish hierarchy. Those people way up here, in authority, in charge. Because what's that mean to them? All their power is going to be taken away. The Romans are kind of a little curious too, because victory over what? And victory over whom? They're a little concerned. And to keep in mind in this journey that we have this event, but we had things building up to this event, and it wasn't very far in the distant past for Jesus and the disciples where he told them he was going to be crucified, he was going to leave them, and he was asking them, can you drink from this cup? Now, we all want to drink from the cup of victory. You know, when our ball team wins, it's our team. Even though I'm 56 years old, I was out there with them, and they couldn't have done it without me. But will we drink from his cup the way he had to drink from the cup? Do we really understand what's going on? You know, the question that came from some of the Pharisees or Sadducees, the higher-ups, was, hey, Jesus, you shouldn't let these people be shouting like this. You know, you're starting to build up something here. Quiet these people down. And Jesus says, hey, if I quiet them down, then the rocks will cry out. And we think that's a cute little saying, and people have made songs about it, and that's really neat. But Christ at that point is saying, I not only have power over the people, I have power over creation itself. And that's just got to grip the higher-ups right to the quick. Because what he is saying is, he is God. So, cute little saying, but we've got to understand what's really behind all of that. So it's a unique road. And where is it taking us? For some people, they thought it was a road to freedom. Jesus knew it was a road to sacrifice. Some people thought it was a road to power. Jesus knew it was a road to humility. Some people thought it was a road to fame. And Jesus knew it was a road to death. So the road was choice. And the road, we sometimes feel, isn't what we thought. Maybe that was what you're saying, man. It's our perception sometimes. We would like to perceive that everything is just pretty good. Everything that we've done is pretty good. But the reality is the need for Christ and the need for obedience. Hopefully that will show itself in a little story here. Perhaps some of you have heard this, so you just have to bear with me and enjoy it as best possible. But there are, and this is, oh boy, don't get too theologically, you know, out of whack with this. It's a story. It's just a, kind of an analogy. It's not how it's really going to be, but hopefully it gets a point across. Because this guy is going along and he's walking. What am I doing here? I died. What am I? Gosh, I'm just walking. Where am I walking to? And he kind of sees up ahead another person walking. And so he kind of hustles a little bit to catch up to him. And this other person is carrying a piece of paper. And he's just really drinking it all in and enjoying it and kind of at peace. And the other guy says, where are we going? Where are you going? And the guy says, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm headed to heaven. And the other guy goes, well, what's that thing in your hand? And the guy goes, oh, I'm not sure. But I think I was given this gift in life. And I have it with me. And so I'm just going to take it with me. And the other guy goes, I don't have anything. Just wondering. Could I have some of that? Maybe it's like a ticket that you need to get into heaven. You know, like a passport or something that you got to have. And the guy goes, well, yeah, it was freely given to me. I can give you some. So he takes some. Rips it off. Gives it to the guy. Now the guy goes, I got some now. I'm okay. I'm in. But then he's looking at the other guy and he's, could I have just a little more of that? Because I just don't have that much. And the other guy, being a very giving spirit, said, well, sure, not a problem. So, takes off some more. Gives it to him. And the first guy is just elated. Look at all I got. I got more than that guy. So I should be in. Whatever this is, I got more of it. And so he takes off and says, you know what, friend? Because you've given me that stuff, I'll run ahead. I'll get to the gates, and we'll make sure everything's cleaned out of your palace. And so let me go. And so he takes off and runs and gets up to the big pearly gates. There's St. Peter. And St. Peter says, hello. And the guy says, "Hi, I'm here. I got my ticket, and I'm ready to come in." St. Peter goes, "Ticket? What ticket?" He says, "Oh, I don't know. This other guy has kind of had a ticket, and I thought I needed a ticket, so here it is." And St. Peter says, "Let me see what you got there. Let me kind of, whoa. Oh, okay. It's becoming a little bit clearer here what we got going on. You say you got here kind of on your own?"
Yeah,
I did it all myself. "Well, I attended Sunday school a couple times, but, you know, I was there, and when things happened, I cheered. You know, I was just really, really thinking about others, you know, time to time. But, St. Peter just kind of looked a little bit further and says, "You know, I think there's a problem. I think you've come to the wrong place. Because it's not by your own works that you come here. It is by God's grace, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." So that person was turned away. And then here comes our second guy. He's just still kind of ambling along, just drinking it all in, and finally gets to the big gates, and St. Peter says, "Hello." The guy says, "Hi, I'm here." And St. Peter's looking a little dubious, says, "What do you got in your hand?" "Oh, I don't know. It was given to me. I think I got it during life. It was just a gift." "Well," St. Peter says, could I see that? I mean, another guy tried to give me something earlier. Can I see what you got?" "Well, yeah." And so he gives it over. "Yeah, you can come right in." What's our perception of the road? Is it easy street? Or is it sacrifice? Palm Sunday, the readings. The one reading should come from this display of palms. How far is it, God's love, from one nail-scarred hand to the other? In Revelation, you can read, and I'm afraid I don't always think the way I should when I read scripture, but there was one that said that the palms were in their hands. I thought, where else would they be? But it strikes me that that's the key. If we cut off branches and we celebrate for a moment and we rah, rah, rah for a while, that breaking off and laying it away from ourselves, that dies. But if we remember this and remember these palms and what they should represent in the giving of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, then we should hang on to that, because this gets to live and gets to carry out what he would have for us to do. So, Palm Sunday, we sometimes dress it up, and it's a beautiful occasion. I don't want to detract from that. But if you could see what Jesus saw and knew what Jesus knew, when he's going down that street and seeing all these people, and they're glorifying or trying to glorify him or do something to get him to take over and be king, he knows in 5 days those words will change. Hosanna will change to crucify him. Something to keep in mind. But we can use our palms. We can grasp, as he grasped, what it means to go on the road, and the victory is not ours. The victory is His. But the service should be like His as we live out our lives in sacrifice and giving so that others may live. May it be for you. May it be for me. Let's keep Jesus at the center.